And now I am here with Sylvia Arostegui. She's a partner over at Stoll Reeves Law Firm. And Chris Russell, also a partner over at Stoll Reeves. How are you two doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for inviting us here.
How you doing, Sylvia?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you. So we're going to break it up a little bit. You know, we've been talking about culture. We've been talking about winning. And, you know, I have to imagine over at Stoll, the culture is a lot different than maybe a small business guy's. Would you agree, Sylvia?
Absolutely. It's probably quite a bit more controlled.
Okay.
Because we know where things go wrong, and okay, we have to be an example of how to do things correctly,
interesting,
right?
Interesting. So, yeah, you see guys like me breaking all the rules, and you're like, oh, no, what's he getting into? But that means business for you if we start breaking rules, right?
Well, yes and no, yes. I mean, I'd rather you talk to me before you start breaking the rules. But, you know, yeah, I guess so. That's right. The more trouble you get into, the more work we have.
Okay, so Chris, let's talk about Stoll Reeves. Can you give us an overview of the organization? Because it's different than most of the law firms we have here in the Sacramento region.
Yeah, we're a West Coast regional firm. Okay. We're the largest law firm in Oregon. And we have offices in the West Coast, including Seattle, Salt Lake City, Boise, and in California we have Sacramento, which is our largest office, San Francisco, and San Diego, and then we have some other offices in Minnesota, Anchorage, Alaska, and in Washington D.C.
Sounds like more than just a little West Coast law firm. I know you guys sponsor the Innovation Awards. I look at that as just the most generous thing in the world, that you're helping the innovative entrepreneurial community. Thinking about that, you guys are a bigger firm. How much of your business is toward these smaller companies, and how much of it is really geared toward larger organizations, ones with a lot of employees?
Well, the Innovation Awards we see as something that we're giving back, and it's something that is something related to, we see that this is not only to the entrepreneurs, but also to the Sacramento region. Mm-hmm. We want to be a strong partner in this region and helping, and we see that innovation and entrepreneurship is one of the strengths of the region, and we're trying to encourage that.
So, Sylvia, the size of your organization is different than I think a lot of small independent law firms that we might have here in the Sacramento region. I mean, what is your focus? Is the focus more broad range, or is it you guys have a differentiated focus?
Well, we have over 300 attorneys, closer to the 400 number, so we do represent all practices. Our focus would be, I guess, energy, corporate, IP, litigation. But yes, because we have close to 400 attorneys, we can provide a whole menu of services.
Yeah, so thinking about entrepreneurship, I like to describe entrepreneurship as this, starting off with this big obsession, right? And then the big dream that we might have, we lock on and we begin our entrepreneurial journey with all these high hopes, and then we suddenly realize there are a ton of obstacles. So thinking about the entrepreneurial journey and the obstacles, Sylvia, help us understand how you guys help us get over the obstacles. When do you come in? Is it at the startup level, or is it as we start having issues with employees and things like that?
Well, every client is different. So yes, we do get clients at all of those stages, but startup would be great, so that the initial set of documents that Chris would prepare would be done correctly, and then we don't have to modify. One of the things that some of the startup clients don't realize is that modifying documents that they have prepared themselves is more costly in the long run than having it set up correctly from the beginning.
So talk about that, Chris. So a lot of entrepreneurs have basic questions like, do I do a C corp? Do I do an S corp? You know, I'm going to raise money. What does that mean? I mean, what are the initial things that we need to be thinking about as we launch this company? We've got documents. We've got maybe we've got investors that we want to bring in. I mean, what are the things that you ask us and to help us make these decisions?
I'm on the LegalNet team for UC Davis Venture Catalyst program, so I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, both researchers and professors and other people affiliated with university. And one of the things I do is I sit down and I help them with organizational documents. And so this process is very familiar with me. I ask them, what are their goals? Is the first aspect. I mean, do you intend to go out and get a grant? Do you, and is that the primary purpose that we're doing this? Are you doing this to raise money from a third party? Are you going to be a more of a mom and pop organization? All of those have different factors leading you to a decision on what would be the most appropriate structure that you might have.
Okay, so you're the people over at Venture Catalyst, they're looking at going out and getting, if I'm going out there to get, I'm going to raise money, right? I'm out there, I've got this cure for a disease. I know I'm going to end up bringing on some investors. Do I set up as a California corporation? Do I get a Delaware corporation? Should it be a C Corp? Give us some little nuts and bolts on that stuff.
Yeah, I think part of it is you know, thinking about where you're going to get your money and to whom, from whom, how long it will take you, how much you will need to raise, and when. So, like for instance, if all you're doing is looking for a grant now, and you're going to be incurring expenses and those expenses, and but you're not going to be raising outside capital initially, you may want to initially form as an LLC in order to take advantage of some of the losses that you might have as a result of the expenses.
Pass through those losses, write them off personally on our tax return.
But in most cases with the Venture Catalyst Group, they're always looking to either have a partner with UC Davis or they're looking to raise capital from outside parties. And those almost always make us look at two options, either LLC and C Corp. And almost, if you're looking for institutional money, like venture capitalist or other people, almost always those are done in the form of a C corporation for a variety of different reasons, mainly because of some internal issues with respect to the venture funds historically. So most of the time we're leaning towards a C corporation if you're going to go out and try to raise money. Between California and Delaware, I always recommend Delaware.
Okay.
And because Delaware is much more flexible in allowing us to do what we want to do.
So entrepreneurs come in all shapes and sizes, Chris. You and I recently worked on a restaurateur who was looking to raise money, and he looks like it's going to work and get off the ground. But just thinking about the array of clients that you might be working with, from startups to even later stage, who do you not want? Like, who's like, well, you know what, you probably shouldn't hire an attorney yet. I mean, which ones don't fit an organization like yours?
I think it's not whether or not if you're asking whether or not they fit my organization or whether or not they need a lawyer, those are two different questions.
Okay, yes.
I think anybody who's establishing their business should have some idea of what the pros and cons of what they're trying to do in order to do that. That could be a brief conversation with me. Sometimes I meet with clients or potential clients, and we'll go through basic analysis on this initially to see whether or not it's something that I can help them with, or at least help them direct. I love working with entrepreneurs, and I will meet with almost anybody to sit down and talk to them, at least initially, to see if I can help them in a direction, and I'll push them in a direction I think that might help them.
Yeah. So Sylvia, thinking about your focus, you have more of the general business. You work on real estate stuff. Describe what you do within the firm.
I'm a transactional attorney. I do real estate and business transactions, which range from, you know, developing a project, financing a project, leasing a project, anything that you may have to do with your investment that touches dirt.
Okay. Touches dirt. Okay, so it wouldn't be like selling a business. It would be more on the real estate side of things.
No, I have done that as well. And we do have a team that would sell a business. That just eliminates the component of real estate collateral, for example, which is a little bit more complicated.
Gotcha.
Because you have to do a title search and understand all the things that go along with that.
But how important is it to have a broad spectrum? So both of you know the law. Your focus is business, but you have this more specific focus on real estate. How often do you get into these other areas? You know, we were talking culture earlier. How often would you get involved in maybe giving somebody advice on employee issues? Or do you automatically kick that over to somebody else in your firm?
I can take that. I mean, I'm a general corporate person. I've sat in a lot of board meetings with small companies all the way up to publicly traded companies. And so I have exposure to particular issues. And so I can provide general knowledge on tax or employment issues. And it also becomes important to be able to identify when the company has a potential issue that they need to be addressed, and then identifying who can resolve that problem. It may not be me, but it is my role as an advisor to my clients to try to help them identify what their issues are.
Which ones are popping up now a lot? What issues are coming up all the time?
I'm doing an M&A transaction right now where the question has come down to employees, whether or not they have the right to work in the U.S., whether or not they've done all the breaks that are necessary, you know, because California has become, whether or not they're properly classified as an independent contractor or an employee, all of those issues, buyers, and I'm representing buyers in this context, are highly sensitive to, and they really do go through and do a thorough due diligence on those issues, because once they acquire the company, it becomes their problem.
You bet. You bet. Well, thinking about the real estate side of things, you know, most of when a business gets to a certain size, it needs a location. You might lease a location, you might buy. Talk to us about, Sylvia, if you don't mind, about the challenges that we run into if we're looking to get involved in acquiring something or leasing a property. Where do you get involved there?
Well, I can get involved at the finance part of it, you know, looking to secure financing to acquire that asset, which is what everybody usually does, unless they have a lot of cash sitting around that they need to use, or a 1031 exchange.
Review the loan documents.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. Loan documents. One of the things that often comes with loan documents is legal opinion letters. A lot of the bank type of lenders require opinion letters, which indicate to them, you know, is this entity in good standing? Are these documents enforceable? So I will review the full set of loan documents, deliver opinion letters, and it's a fairly complicated process on how that's done. But that's the, you know, summary of that. And then I will be involved in actually going through and looking at the project, assessing the title risks involved, drafting perhaps the purchase documents that are involved. On the commercial side, you wouldn't use a form typically because of the nuances that are involved, especially if there's tenants, if it's an occupied property. So there's all types of asset classes, and each asset class requires a different type of review and expertise.
Well, what about somebody who wants to lease a property? I'm going out, and I need to lease a 20,000 square foot property, and I've got to review the lease, and it's over my head. Is that somewhere that we would call someone like you?
Absolutely. And what I would tell you is if you're leasing the property, that means you're the landlord, you should think about setting up a form lease that you would then propose to your prospective tenants, and you would drive the process essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's like I want to kind of like move to the culture conversation a little bit more. We talked about the Stoll Reeves culture, contrasting the entrepreneurial culture, and wondering, Chris, like, how do you see it contrasting? Because when I was at the Innovation Awards, and the attorneys are the button up suit and ties. I mean, and here you are. You're no tie today. You're relaxed. I mean, do you guys get a bad rap for being a little too buttoned up?
Well, I mean, there are law firms that are like that.
Okay.
Our law firm is, it's much more much more fluid, where attorneys can do their work. As we have an expectation of doing our work and doing it correctly and doing a great job for our clients. To the extent that we need, you know, our clients expect us to look a particular way, we'll dress that way.
Yeah.
But I prefer to dress like this. I prefer to be casual.
Yeah, yeah. How would you answer that? What do you think, Sylvia?
You know, I think what I like about Stoll Reeves is that we are a regional firm with local and locally based attorneys. Mm-hmm. So Chris and I have been in Sacramento for many years. We've been practicing for over 20 years. I'm a transplant from a local firm. He's a transplant from another firm. We're all from Sacramento, and we're able to charge local rates. Mm-hmm. So we provide this broad array of services and expertise at a local level. And I really like that, because I think a lot of firms can't do that because of their structure.
Well, let's talk about that as your culture, because I love talking about that. Whenever I'm working with you, whether it be on the Innovation Awards or we're raising money or what have you, it's like I love working with Stoll Reeves. Where did that culture come from?
It comes from the people, right? We call, we say there's a corporation, there's an LLC. What does that mean? Well, what makes up a corporation and an LLC but people? And it is the people that make it that way. And I think we have a particularly good group of people in Sacramento, the attorneys that I work with every day. They're always there to support each other, and we have each other's back. And I feel like we're a fairly, you know, close-knit group of attorneys. And
that's
we do enjoy being together, and
it's
we
fun.
Enjoy what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone in our office that doesn't like being an attorney. So I happen to love what I do as well, and I know Chris does.
I think our image of attorneys is that more individual players versus teammates. So I'm wondering, like, where does that come from? And like, what happens in leadership to bring that community? Does that start at the top? Who's most influential within the organization?
I don't know, Chris. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I mean, obviously, given a firm the size of Stoll Reeves, I mean, there we have a. It comes from the top down as well. But we have a very egalitarian structure. I mean, we have a managing partner, but he's a part of an executive committee team that are made up of six different attorneys from our different offices. And so everybody has an input. Everybody has a vote. And it's that part of the process. We all feel like we participate in the growth of the firm. We all benefit from it. We all suffer from the losses. Mm-hmm. And so we all have this this joint goal of trying to succeed.
Okay, so I'll ask you the marquee media question, right? We're out there talking to entrepreneurs out there who are chasing their dreams, and we have a message that we could give them that we could post up on the billboard. Sylvia, what message should entrepreneurs get from Stoll Reeves and you personally?
I think the message is we're a regional firm with local attorneys that have the community at heart, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. We love what we do, and we love Sacramento.
Love it. Chris, closing thoughts?
I would just think that I hope my clients think of me as one of their partners and a business partner, and you know, and using me as a part of their process, use my years of experience as they would with you. You know, we all add something to that culture, and that's what I would want my clients to think, is that I'm one of their partners.
Love it, Sylvia Arostegui, Chris Russell, Stoll Reeves. I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and all you do for our Sacramento region.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe, feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better, and let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.